Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for all that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for who you've made us to be, what you've entrusted to us. Father, we thank you for the calling that's upon each of us, the vision you've given each of us, the purpose and plan that you've assigned for each of us. And tonight, Father, I pray for an equipping. I pray, Father, that people will be equipped, that things will be set right, set in order, that an appetite will be wet, that people will start to see themselves in a new and a different way. They'll begin to embrace more of what you've called them to do, and they'll be more willing to stretch out and work with you the way you intended for them to. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, good to see you. Like I said, if you will open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I just have some verses here. I'm just going to read through a couple of passages of Scripture tonight and just give you a moment to turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, maybe you should take some notes and write some of these things down. I'm going to do some teaching here tonight about some things that you need to know about. And I'm gonna talk tonight about the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of gifts of the Spirit. And there's several reasons I'm doing this. One is, first of all, every believer needs an understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And frankly, most people are ignorant when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Even Spirit-filled people haven't been taught. They don't know. Maybe people have an operation. They've seen things in operation, but they don't really know what's going on. So that's one reason. And tied with that is the fact that there's been so much misunderstanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And so I just want to, let's look at the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. That's one reason. The second reason that I want to talk about it is that you see the gifts of the Spirit in operation here in our church at various times. And I'll give some examples of that as we go through this tonight. And I want you to be comfortable with the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you are from backgrounds where you're really comfortable with it. Others of you are from backgrounds where you're not so comfortable with it. Maybe you haven't been exposed to it very much. And so I just want everybody to be comfortable and see that it's scriptural. But then there's a third reason I want to talk about it. And the third reason may be the most important reason, and it is this, that you need to know about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit so that you can operate the gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit are given for all. They're not just for a few people, not just one or two, or, oh, that's something that Pastor Matt does. No, it's for you, and it's really for you in your life. Not the most people that operate in the gifts of the Spirit only operate in them within the confines of a church building or a meeting of some sort. But these are for you, and they're for you in your life out there. And you need them, and there is spiritual equipment that the Lord has given to us by the Holy Spirit, spiritual equipment that you need to carry out His purpose and plan for you. So you need them. And you'll see later on, if we get to it tonight, 1 Corinthians 14, He tells us to desire them. So tonight, as you heard me pray a moment ago, I want to whet your appetite, W-H-E-T, wet, that you would desire these. And the more you know about them, and the more you understand them, the more comfortable you'll be, and the more you'll desire them. And frankly, in my life, the more I've read about these, the more I've heard about their operation, read after other people who really flowed in the gifts of the Spirit, and the more that I heard about them, understood how they operated, the more comfortable I was, and the more they were able to work in my life. So that's why I want to bring these up for you tonight. So we'll just start in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, actually, before I get going with that, I want to just give you a little synopsis. This is written by the Apostle Paul, this passage, to the church at Corinth. And just so you have a little understanding of the church at Corinth, you should read about them. You think we got trouble today? You should read about the people at Corinth. I mean, they had incest in the church. They had some crazy stuff going on. So we look around sometimes and we think, oh, we really have it going on today. I'm telling you, they had it. Just crazy. But they also, even though they were, if you read, they were the most sinful church of the day. As far as what Paul wrote to the different churches, he called them out on more sin than anybody. Those books are longer. The church of Ephesus was a smaller book, the other churches. But Corinth, he had to write them a big book, two of them. But they also were the ones that flowed in the gifts of the Spirit more than the rest, so much so that they were just over the top with it, and there was confusion going on in the church at Corinth. And Paul wrote this letter to try to straighten out some of the things that had started happening there. It's just interesting to me, though, seven chapters before he's talking about incest, and now he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's interesting, isn't it? Because you wouldn't think he'd be writing about those two subjects to the same church. But he was. So just want you to know that sometimes people get this idea that God can only work with people who are perfect, and it's not true. God works through people who are hungry for him. And it's not perfection, because the only way that we are right with God is through Jesus anyway, not through what we do. Sure, we need to deal with sin, especially sin that's in our midst, but I'm going to tell you, they had crazy manifestations going on. They had it going on. If we went to that church, we'd go, that would be, you know, if you went around town, if all those churches were in one town, you went around and visited them. When you got to Corinth, you'd go, one thing for sure, these are charismatics in Corinth. That's how they came across. And so that's what they were doing. So now it says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, there's not a lot of places that Paul said something like this. But every time I read that, I remind myself, people were ignorant at the church at Corinth, and people are ignorant today in Augusta. People are ignorant. And I will say this, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and the operations of the Spirit of God among us, there's a whole lot of ignorance. And I don't want to be ignorant. How about you? Let's don't be ignorant. Paul didn't want us to be ignorant, and so he wrote these things inspired by the Holy Spirit to help us move past our ignorance. Now, I just have to throw this in for those who are here tonight, that were here at the very beginning of our church. The very first series of teaching that I ever did in our church, early on, this tells you about the beginning of Good News Church, but the first series I was ever led to do in our church was a series called, funny enough, Eradicating Ignorance on Spiritual Gifts. And Matt brings that up to me ever so often, just about how ridiculous that we were. But that was what, so every, you know, from the beginning of our church, it's been in me, we need to eradicate ignorance. And thank God some of my own ignorance was eradicated in that series. And maybe more of it will be tonight. So let's go on to verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, those separated from God, not Jews, not part of the old covenant, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we know this, whenever someone is born again, the Holy Spirit is there. So people who are saved have the Holy Spirit, and we understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit and even the operation of the gifts of the Spirit are something that has to do with the overflow of the Holy Spirit. It's not that people don't have the Holy Spirit when they're saved. They do. But then let's go on down to verse 4. It says this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice the word Spirit's capitalized. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, these are three different verses that are saying this, that all the gifts, all the ministries, all the operations of the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to read about, they're all orchestrated by the same God, by the same Spirit, by the same Lord, that they all flow together, and they're not in competition with each other. They're not in opposition with each other. They're not, one's going this way and another's going this way. No, they all flow together. And really, as the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it is a beautiful symphony that God works that only He can do. And He moves by His Spirit in the hearts of His people, and He works something that, while it's going on, those who are involved in it, they only see a little part. They don't see everything that is. But when it's all said and done, you're like, wow, it's God putting on a show of His power. And it's a beautiful thing. And I can just attest to that myself. I've many times been a part of and many times been a witness of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and how they flow together and how they work. And it's marvelous. It makes me marvel. And it's awesome. But they all flow together, and they're all working together to accomplish God's plans and His purposes. They don't have they're not for you to accomplish your purpose. You'll see that in a minute. They're about God's purposes. So now let's go on to verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, And all the gifts of the Spirit we're going to talk about in a minute. Spirit, big S, the Holy Spirit, when He manifests Himself, He manifests Himself. It's given to each one for the profit of all. And that means that when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself to us, either if He does it through Terry, or He does it through Michelle, or He does it through Anthony, or He does it through me, it doesn't matter. It's for the good of us all. And the Holy Spirit's not going to manifest Himself through Terry just for Terry's good. At all of our expense. It's going to be good for all of us. And so anytime the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it'll bless you. Whether you're the one who's receiving from the gift of healing that's operating, or you're the one that the prophecy is especially for or not, or that word, if you're the one that has the word of wisdom or not, it doesn't matter. It will be good for all of us. That's why it will be a blessing for all of us. That's why when you're in a service and maybe one person's being ministered to, you're ignorant if you think, well, that's for them and, you know, that's just good for them, but I can just be, you know, I'm just put my mind somewhere else, or I can just get up and leave and run out. No, you're going to miss a blessing. And I think, how many times in my life have I been blessed when it wasn't at all for me? Or it wasn't at all about me. I wasn't involved in it, but it blesses me. It's good for all of us whenever the gifts of the Spirit are in operation and the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, I want to just talk about that for a minute. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it's God manifesting Himself to us. God is real. The Spirit of God is real. And one thing that differs in Christianity than every other belief system that people have is our God is real. He is alive and He is at work in His people and through His people. He actually comes in and inhabits us. He inhabits our gatherings where two or three are gathered. He is here in our midst and He wants to demonstrate Himself. He's not a way out there, far off, some kind of God. That's not who He is. He's right here in us, with us, and He wants to show up. And He wants to show out. He wants to make His presence known. That's the desire. That's the heart of God. He wants to manifest Himself and even tangibly demonstrate His power. And so that, when He does that, it's for everybody's good. And we should enjoy it and we should expect it. And we should be grateful for it. So that's what He's saying here. And it's given to each one for the profit of all. And I guess I need to comment on that. He's given to each one for the profit of all. Notice that there's not one person. He says each one is, it doesn't say it's given to the leader for the profit of all, only to the leader. And he's the only one that ever has the benefit. No, it's given to each one, every one of us. Every one of us are capable of operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Every one of us are capable of receiving a manifestation of the Spirit. It doesn't just say it's given to the pastor for the profit of the church. It's what it could have said, but it didn't. So it goes on to say, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So it's the same Spirit doing all this. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And so this lists out the gifts of the Spirit. And I've, over the years, taught a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. But let me just go back through and explain a little bit about what they are. When the Holy Spirit, and you know, just say it this way. When Paul's writing this, he's trying to show the people, inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is how you can expect God to manifest Himself. And see, it's interesting because in the day that we live, people want supernatural things to happen. There are people that are very open to supernatural happenings, you know? And I've heard of places, I've even been in services where people, I mean, they would go for anything and hope that was the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? They're so hungry for something to show up and to show out. They're just hoping for anything. And it really got to a point in one place in particular where there was a revival going on. And I believe it was really a move of God, but the people were so open, but they had not been properly taught. They got to the point where the people would come up front and they would bark like dogs. Have any of y'all heard about this? They'd come up front. Jana just freaked out. She's like, now you're talking about them people I didn't want to be with. Jana, that's not here. That's somewhere else. Notice. Okay. Because the whole tongues thing freaked Jana out when she first heard about it. But anyway, But they would come up in the service, or even not even come up front. They'd be in the service, and they would supposedly, as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they'd start barking and making animal sounds. Well, they were so much trying to have a manifestation of, or something of God, something supernatural, that now they've gone to barking. Well, there have been over times very strange things that people have done in the name of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that we should go to the Bible, since the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit who's going to manifest himself. And why don't we see what he says about how he manifests himself? And he did. He gave us 9 different ways here that we can expect him to manifest himself. And none of them have to do with barking. Praise the Lord. Arf, arf. Okay. And it goes on to say, for to one. So these are things you can expect. You can learn about these. You can expect God to manifest these through your life. And frankly, since you and me are people who are who have been empowered to give life and who are being empowered to give life, one way that God will give life through us is we will see manifestations of these. So you can expect these in your life. All right, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. What is a word of wisdom? Does that just mean if you're making a decision, then, you know, you'll have wisdom and choose the best course of action? No, the word of wisdom is more than that. That is wisdom. That's Bible wisdom. That's something the Bible tells us in James 1. If we lack it, we can ask of it. But he's talking about a gift of the Spirit here. It's a supernatural knowledge of something. And really, if you look and study through the gifts of the Spirit and study it in terms of the rest of the scriptures, the word of wisdom is something where you have a supernatural knowledge or foreknowing of something that's going to happen, something that's coming in the future, something that's just ahead or way out ahead. And so it's a kind of a knowing, a picture of something that's going to come. Now, in my life, I was trying to explain this last week. I met with Greg and Cody, and we had a big discussion about this and about the gifts of the Spirit. I was trying to explain to them how that works in my life, so I'll just give you the same example I gave them because it's the best way I know how to explain it. Does everybody here have a good memory from your childhood? Maybe a Christmas morning, maybe a birthday party, maybe something anywhere. Can you have a memory somewhere from your, a dog you had, the day you got your favorite puppy, whatever, you know, something. You got a memory. Okay. So that memory is something in your head. It's like a picture in your head. It's like something you see in your head. It's not here. You're not standing in it. It's just in your head, right? Just something that's right there. Well, the way the word of wisdom works for me in my life, I'm just sharing this in a personal way, is that it's like a memory, like that picture that you have, except it hasn't yet happened. It's something in the future. But it's something, and you hear me sometimes say, I see this. Have you heard me say that? And it's the same thing. It's like an imagination, not like something I'm making up, but it's just like, it's just the same kind of thing as a memory. Oh, I remember when that happened, except it hasn't yet happened. And it's something in the future. And a word of wisdom is something that's going to happen. It's a supernatural knowing about something in the future. We see that in the Old Testament with the prophets who would talk about it. Y'all remember Noah? Noah went around and told people how it was going to rain, and they'd never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. Well, he was really describing a word of wisdom that had come to him by God. God had talked to him and told him there's coming this rain. You talk about having, you know, an image of something that had not yet happened because the earth had never known rain. He was having a word of wisdom about something that was going to come. And this is something that it'll come to you. It may be just for you. It might be something that you just get a glimpse of in your life. Oftentimes this will come and it'll be something that you have for someone else. It'll be something that through your own words you would just say, well, I see this, or I have this knowing about something that is to come. And so we'll see in a minute that it's not for people to take action on, but it's just a knowing of something that is to come. Okay, so we have that. That's the word of wisdom. And it's very similar to the next one, which is the word of knowledge. And word of knowledge is knowing something that exists, but it exists outside of your realm of natural knowledge. And a really good example of this, I just reminded during praise and worship about this. Some years ago, there was a lady who had come to our church, and she was coming really regularly, and God had set her free from many things in her life, and she'd been set free, and she was really excited about the things of God, hungry for the things of God. And then I noticed she quit coming to church. And I would talk to her, you know, called her a couple times, and she was still excited about the church and everything, but she came a little bit, but was coming less and less often, and then she just quit coming. So one day I was just wondering what was going on with her, just kind of contemplating it, you know, thinking it over, and I knew by word of knowledge what was going on. It was a word of knowledge. Inside of me, I knew that one of the things she had been set free from when she first had come was smoking tobacco. Now, you know, smoking, we won't get into that. I'm not up here condemning smoking, even though the doctor certainly would. But she had in her own mind, you know, then, okay, so she had quit smoking. But then, over the course of time, she had gone back. She'd picked the habit back up, and she'd started smoking. Well, the more she smoked, the less she came to church. And then she just was full-fledged back into her habit. And she felt ashamed about it. And because she felt such shame about it, she didn't want to come to church. And I just saw that in an instant on the inside. It was a word of knowledge. I had no natural knowledge of it, no way of knowing naturally. I hadn't seen her buying cigarettes, hadn't seen them in her back, nothing. It was just something I knew. And I knew this is why she's not coming to church. The devil's using that to beat her up and tell her, don't, you can't go back over there at the church. You got free from that. Now you're back in it. And she was condemned. So I called her up. I said, hey, and there, you know, again, oh yeah, you again. And I'm like, I just wanted to tell you that if no matter what's been going on in your life, no matter what's come back, even if you've started back smoking, I want to tell you that that does not disqualify you from coming into fellowship with us, coming to the church. I said, don't let the devil beat you up with that old habit coming back. The same power that delivered you the first time is still available. And she just burst out crying. She said, how'd you know? How'd you know? How'd you know? And I said, I just knew. But I didn't know because Susie knew. I knew because God spoke to me. It was a word of knowledge. So that's how words of knowledge work. And, you know, I could just stay here all day and tell you about different words of knowledge that I've had in my life. Many of them, again, for people in the church, but some of them have been for me in my life and things. But these are manifestations primarily that you're going to have. Some of them are going to benefit you, but they're not just to benefit you. Remember what I read earlier? They're for the profit of all. So oftentimes they're for other people. So that's the word of knowledge, okay? It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we are very acquainted with the Bible word faith, aren't we? Because we know the just shall live by faith. We know without faith it's impossible to please God. But this, talking about this faith here, is not just general believing God, trusting God, and that either God gives you a gift and you can trust Him or you're too bad. No, it's not that. This is talking about a special gift of faith, or one way you could say it is the gift of faith or special faith. And it's really when the best way to describe it is this, is that in your life, when you're trusting God about something, you're operating on the kind of faith that we get from the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, and that's the seed that comes in us, and it grows faith. But there are times that God, so it seems like He just lends us His faith. And there'll be a moment or time you might experience where you're believing God for something and you're even saying to yourself, this is crazy. I'm believing God. I'm way out here beyond me. I know this isn't just me that's doing this. This is something bigger than me. And some years ago, this best example I can give tonight quickly is, some years ago my cousin had a child, and when my cousin's baby was born, the baby, bled out. I think the placenta came unattached from the uterus, and the baby bled out in his mother's womb. And so when he was born, he was basically lifeless, and there was a lot of blood. And so the doctors got busy on him real quick, and they brought him around. They brought him back, and they pumped him full of blood, but they said, you know, we're just keeping him alive on these machines, and he's going to be, you know, dead by nightfall. And of course, then they call us. And so we go over to the hospital. And anyway, Matt goes in to minister to this baby, and Matt said it freaked him. He when he saw the kid, he thinks to himself, I should be freaked out, because he said he'd never seen anything like that. It was like this baby was blown up like the Michelin man. was just huge because of all this blood they had pumped in this baby and how he looked. And Matt said it should have freaked him out, but he was looking at him and he thought, oh, this baby's going to be fine. He laid hands on him, commanded him to live. And he said he just had never had such confidence. And when he left, I remember us driving home and he's going, Susie, it's so weird because that baby's going to live. And the doctors had said emphatically, that baby's going to be dead. And Matt said, I just know it's done. God's taking care of this. And in over a matter of less than 5 days, that child was totally normal. And it was a situation where, like Matt, I remember Matt woke up in the middle of the night and he said to me, he said, I woke up during the middle of the night and I thought, okay, I'm up because I'm going to worry about the baby. And then he woke up and he's like, that baby's going to be fine. And he went back to sleep. You know, he's like waking up in order to worry about it, but he didn't even need to because he just knew that he knew there was something bigger going on. And it was the gift of faith in operation. And so thank God for the gift of faith. Amen. And so that's another manifestation of the Holy Spirit is that gift of faith. Now, and then it goes on to say gifts of healings. Well, we know from Isaiah 53, we know from 1 Peter 2:24, we know from Matthew 8:17, we know from all kinds of scriptures that healing belongs to us. And we can receive healing just because it belongs to us. We're redeemed. Just the same way we're redeemed from sin, we're redeemed from sickness. Now, what are the gifts of healings? Is that something that means anytime you're healed that you're getting one of these gifts of healings? No. Gifts of healings are when God intervenes in somebody's life who really in themselves doesn't have faith to be healed. They don't know all the things you've been taught. And it is a special just God just interrupted somebody's life and he healed them. When I think of the gifts of healings, I think of the mercy of God. And one thing many of us are aware of, and you even heard Jeremy Gall talk about it, the day that Molly and Josh and Courtney's friend Vinny was healed his ear. Vinny had absolutely no faith at all, did not even believe in God, but there was a gift of healing that took place, and his ear that didn't even have the apparatus to hear had been removed, and his ear popped open. It did more than that. His hearing came to an ear that had no organs to hear with. That was a gift of healing. It was a gift of healing because it wasn't Vinny receiving his healing. It was God just showing up and giving him a gift. It was a manifestation. So you don't have to have a gift of healing for healing. But this is one way. And there's many, and there are gifts. It's more than one. There are gifts of healings. So thank God for that. Why are there gifts of healings? Because there's all kinds of sicknesses and they need different kind of gifts to manifest. So thank God for that. But this is just one. Again, like there's special faith. There's like these special gifts of healings. It goes on to say, to another, the working of miracles. And that's things that are outside of healing, but the miraculous side, like Eddie just talked about when he talked about the loaves and fishes. That was a working of miracles in operation. That was one of the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifested himself and brought forth a great, and they worked it out. So I'm not going to get caught up on these. I need to keep moving. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is an inspired utterance in your known language. And I would say for most of us, this is probably the starting place of the gifts of the Spirit is in prophecy, because to me it's the easiest one, and it's the one that he said we should desire and that we should desire to do. And I can just say, I can just say this pretty much from the word, that prophecy for you would be, if nothing else, the easiest one for you to flow in and the one for you to get started in. And it might be the one you've already done and don't even realize you did it. Because an inspired utterance in your language, in your known language, some people have interpreted prophecy to be, oh, that's just preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of people who preach and it ain't inspired. But I also can tell you this, there is sometimes an element of prophecy in preaching or teaching. There can be. But a prophecy is when God inspires something in you. Have you ever been just sharing with somebody, or even maybe in a time of prayer, you're praying for someone and suddenly up from within you is coming and you are inspired and you are saying things and you're like, man, this is good. And I didn't even really know this, and I'm not this good, but boy, this is some good stuff. And it's just inspired. It's not giving somebody direction or whatever, but it's, because we'll see in a minute the purpose for it, but it's just inspired by God. You know, there's something more than you going on there. It's like got extra oomph in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, that's prophecy. And so that's a good place for you to really just even start learning to work with God is in that. And then to another, discerning of spirits. Some people interpret this is just discernment, but it's not discernment. There is discernment, like there's wisdom, but this is discerning of spirits. There are spirits. The Bible tells us there are natural human spirits. So we have spirits. Angels, those are spirits. Demons, those are spirits. Eek. There is the Holy Spirit. There are spirits that are here. So discerning of spirits is really just where your eyes are open and you see into the realm of the spirit. And again, I don't know why you would, I mean, it's not something that we make happen or we try to make happen or whatever, but at various times that might be necessary for some purpose. We've been in services early on in our church. One time we had a lady who was really an older lady in our church, and we're kind of at the end of the service during a ministry time, and Matt's up front ministering, and I was sitting on the platform at that time, so I saw it, and I saw her come out of her seat, and she's walking up the middle aisle. Nobody called her up, and she's a little tiny woman, and she's kind of a little bit frail, and she's doing just like this, and she's walking, and she's and she was having one of these gifts, a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. She was seeing into the realm of the Spirit. What was it she was seeing? Angels. She was seeing angels. And she was so overcome. Nobody called her up. Nobody said anything. And you knew, if you knew this woman, you knew it was real. It's Carolyn Waddell. If you knew this woman, you knew it was real. Because she wasn't like doing this every week. You know what I mean? It was real. And she was just like, you know, and it benefited her. And I tell you, we were all blessed by that. It was amazing. One time, Matt was ministering and our daughter Molly was a little girl, and I can't remember if it was at the end of the service, sometime, and Molly said, "Who was that? Who was that man?" And we're like, "Who was what man?" "That man standing behind daddy or dad." And I'm like, "What man?" "When he was up there speaking, there was that man with those white legs. He was moving with daddy or dad. Every time he moved, he was up there. I could see his," and Molly was watching her dad's angel, and he was moving around with her, but we didn't know it. She's this little girl, but that was this big, you know, her eyes were open and she was seeing into the realm the Spirit. I think it happens more than we know, because it's not super spectacular. Sometimes, not always, is it Carolyn Waddell up the aisle? You know, it was like Molly going, "I saw those legs. What was that?" I saw in one of our impact meetings one night, I can't remember which summer it was. I'm sitting right there. Jeremy Gall is over here ministering, and probably for about, I don't know, some period of time, it's hard to tell, but several minutes, I saw an angel standing right behind Jeremy Gall. And when Jeremy would move, as Jeremy would move, the angel would move along with him. And he was working with, well, it sounds, but y'all, they're here right now. It's real. It's just my eyes were open and I saw him. And it was that night, it was especially powerful, and there was a lot of ministry that happened, a lot of things, and my eyes were just open and I just saw. And so that's a discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. Y'all have heard about tongues? And just stop along here. Just like there's another kind of faith, there's our faith and there's special faith. Just like there's wisdom and then there's a word of wisdom. Just like we have knowledge and there's a word of knowledge. Just like there's healings, but then there's this special manifestation of the gifts of healings. In that same way, just like we have tongues, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we speak in other tongues, right? Well, just in that same way that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues, there is another manifestation of tongues that's a special manifestation of tongues. And this isn't talking about all tongues all the time. Because you and me, we can speak in tongues. We do it as the Holy Spirit when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? But this is a special manifestation of tongues that's like an inspired utterance in tongues. Now, we see this. We see this at various times. I think it was last Wednesday night when I ministered to Greg, if I'm not mistaken. Does anybody know? I think I spoke in tongues. I think there was one of these gifts of tongues followed by an interpretation of tongues. I'm pretty sure. I don't normally necessarily do that, but I think I spoke and it was that. It's a ministry, a gift of the Spirit of tongues. It's an inspired utterance. and then an interpretation. I'm pretty sure the last time Jeremy and Jocelyn were here, Jeremy had one of these. There was a manifestation of, yeah, a gift of tongues like this kind, not just Jeremy speaking in tongues, but an inspired utterance in the assembly, and then Jocelyn interpreted, because that's the next one, the interpretation of tongues. And those go together. And you'll see probably next week we'll go over to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll see how these things function in the church. But tongues that are given that way need to be interpreted. Now, there's been a misunderstanding in the body of Christ, people that don't, you know, a lot of people that don't speak in tongues and don't know anything about it. And then just general misunderstanding, and people think that anytime somebody speaks in tongues, it has to be interpreted. But it doesn't. If you're using your own devotional prayer language that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't need to be interpreted. And it's because you're praying the perfect will of God, like Romans 8:26 tells us, with groanings which can't be uttered. That's the Holy Spirit prayer language. And we're talking to men. Talking to God, not to men. But in an assembly, if I'm going to have this inspired utterance in tongues, it's not going to benefit you unless someone interprets it. And so it needs, these two go together. And the way I see it and understand it, prophecy is equal to or the same. It's the same thing when you have a tongue and an interpretation of tongue. That's basically the same thing as prophecy. They work the same way. The interpretation of the tongue is like a prophecy. And you just get a little extra oomph with the tongue. So both of those work in my life, and many times one or the other. Sometimes it'll just be the prophecy. Sometimes it's the tongue with the interpretation. Either way, it's the same. And so he goes on. So I think we've got them all covered there. Yeah, there's nine. And then verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Again, it's one Spirit. So it's going to flow. It's not going to be dueling tongues. Because I've been in the church where it was dueling tongues. Where, you know, brother doodad and sister thingamajig, and they'd pop up and it's, and then, and it was confusion. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. But when it's the Holy Spirit, it flows and it works. And I've also been in the church where, you know, lo, I am here with you even to the end of the earth. That's the prophecy. And over here, lo, I'm not in this place, saith the Lord. You know, which is it? You know, so you've been in crazy places. And many of you haven't had the privilege that I've had to be in Crazyville. I'm thankful. There's a reason that we started Good News Church. Because we have been in Crazyville. But it all works and flows together. But something I want you to see about the last part of verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Look what it says, distributing to each one individually. So this is available again. This is for all of us to flow in. Nobody owns these gifts. It's not like I have the gift of prophecy or you have the working of miracles. They're distributed as needed, as he sees fit, distributed to each one individually as he wills. Y'all see that? As he wills. As who wills? And that he is capitalized. It's signifying the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. They're distributed as God wills. That's one other way that I know when he talks about here the gift of faith, or he talks about here the speaking in tongues, to another, different kinds of tongues. This is one way that I know that this is different than my private devotional use of speaking in tongues, is because I can speak in tongues at my will. I can speak in tongues whenever and wherever I want to. And I do. And I encourage you to as well. But can't you just speak in tongues? Just, if I just said go, most of us could just go. Cause it is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift in our lives, but it's something that we have control. I can stop and I can go. I can go and I can stop. Isn't that right? But if these are distributed as he wills, I know this is something different than, because I can speak in tongues whenever I want. If this was just talking about my ability to speak in other tongues, then it wouldn't be just as he wills. But I can't just, as I will, decide I'm going to have a word right now for Carol. And I'm going to prophesy to Carol. Or I'm going to have a tongue and interpretation for Georgette. I can't do that at my will. It's as he wills, as he leads me. You see that? That's how I know. And the same thing with healing, because I know from the scripture that healing is mine because of what Jesus did. It's a finished work. I am the healed. Class number 7 in Essential 8 tells you that. If you don't understand that, get class number 7. It lays it out. But, so I know, I don't have to wait on him to initiate it. I can initiate it. Just like I can initiate speaking in tongues. And the other thing is I can initiate faith in me because the word brings faith. So if I eat the word, faith will come. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If I hear the word, faith will come in me. And I can use my faith. So I have a personal faith and trust in God I can use, I can develop. I can believe God and receive personally my healing. So I know these are different. These are something that God initiates, that God operates at his will. It's his mercy. It's his goodness. It's him just wanting to get in on the party and bless people. And that's really often to me how I see the gifts of the Spirit is God looks down. He wants to show himself. He wants people to know he's God. He wants to be merciful and kind and gracious. And what a great way to be merciful, kind and gracious. Give someone an inspired utterance that builds people up and comforts them and charges them up and encourages them. Isn't that a great way? Isn't that a great way to be merciful, to just heal a guy that's sitting on the second row that doesn't even know if there is a God and just heal him anyway? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it? Isn't it just great that there's a bunch of people hungry out in the desert, been looking for food, can't find anything. They're about to get sent away. And he said, nah, we'll just feed them anyway. Just do what I tell you to do. Work a miracle. See, it's God getting in on it. Wonderful stuff. He wants to do it. He wants to do it more in us, even in here, but he wants to do it in you out there. And it's great. I can tell you, I've learned to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but that's not enough for me. I want you to do it. And I'm not going to be satisfied until you know how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So tonight I just wanted to kind of go through these and introduce them. And next week I'll just take up there. 2 weeks from tonight, we won't have Wednesday night midweek boost because people will be on spring break or they'll be doing something related to a golf tournament. But so next week, we'll take up in chapter 14. So if you want to, between now and next week, you can read 1 Corinthians 12 and then chapter 14 or just 14. And we're going to go through and talk about that. So praise God. I think we'll end right there tonight, not get to chapter 14. Praise God. Won't we stand up and let me pray for you? Hallelujah. Before we leave, I'll just say this, and I'll tell you this again next week. If anything I've said has piqued your interest, your curiosity, you want to flow in this, you want more, you know, just maybe you hadn't heard about it, maybe you've heard all about it and you know all about it. I'm going to tell you that I know this from the scripture. I'll tell it to you next week from the scripture, but I know it by personal experience. The best thing you can do if you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit is pray in tongues. Praying in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And you can do that all day, every day, pretty much, unless you talk on the phone. So don't speak in tongues on the phone. But unless you're talking to other people, you can just quietly to yourself pray in other tongues. You don't have to make a spectacle, but just as you're driving your car, just as you're sitting at your desk doing other work, you can do it quietly. If you're running a machine, you can probably do it loud. If you're in the grocery store, I always pray. If you run into me in the grocery store, you'll see me. I'm praying in tongues. You might want to get right behind me. There's just a glory cloud going through. That's not true based on some of the things I put in my buggy, obviously. But anyway, you can just pray in tongues all the time. If you're not talking to somebody else, you can be talking to God. So, but the more that I pray in tongues, the more that stirred up in me. And for example, Sunday night, we had that kind of service and we ministered to people. Everybody I ministered to, I had some kind of prophecy for them. Most people a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, something. But that afternoon I laid down after I got home from church to sleep, never slept, but I just prayed in tongues all afternoon. But that's the best thing. And before I come in here and have service with you, I just pray in tongues. That's the best thing I can do for you. And that's the best thing you can do. If you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, is spend time. I can just tell you that in my own life. Spend time praying in tongues. Can I get a witness? Anybody else know what I mean? It's the truth. Amen. All right, let me pray here. Father, we thank you tonight. Father, we know from the Word is that these gifts are not something you're holding back from us. These are gifts you made for us. You long to manifest yourself in these ways. These gifts are just you manifesting yourself, showing us your goodness, your kindness, your glory. And Father, we desire these gifts. We desire that they operate in our lives. Father, we desire that you use us, all of us, that you use us in these ways. Manifest yourself through us in these ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just invite you. Just tell him if you're interested or not. We just invite you to manifest yourself to us. We're available. Teach us how to flow with you. Teach us how to work with you. You're not holding this back from us. You're a very good teacher, and you'll teach us all how to do it. You'll teach us all how to work with you and how these things can operate in us. We're not afraid. Why would we be afraid? This is God. This is you. Hallelujah. We just take authority over any fear that people would have. Cast that aside in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, thank you, thank you for manifesting yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.